Welcome to the What's Your Weird Story podcast.
Everyone has at least one good story.
And some of us have stories that are just to the left of normal.
We're interested in the ones that push the boundaries of what we can perceive.
Stories that defy explanations.
Stories with an air of mystery.
Stories we might not share.
For fear of being thought of differently.
But don't worry. We're all friends here. So, what's your weird story?
Hello, Weirdsville. I'm your host, Barry Johnston, coming at you with my co-host, my best friend, Mr. Adam Beebe. How are you, Adam?
Hello, Barry. Thank you. I am doing well. Thank you, everyone.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to thank everybody for listening to the podcast.
Awesome.
Big, you know.
Oh, that's great.
You know, stuff that, you know, I mean, it's they do it every week, and it's, you know, just every Tuesday comes out episode, you know.
Right.
But I still feel, you know, it's congenial to extend our hand and our both hands and, you know, and hug our friends when we see them every week.
Love it.
I love it. When they hear us, right?
I'm gonna go for something a little more that sort of touches home base, which is we've been getting absolutely pounded with rain. My lord, we're just drowning in the rain.
Yeah, man. I heard that there was a guy over by you that was picking up animals two by two, man. Put them up in a in a big boat there.
Well, he's smart.
But yeah, you guys.
Whoever that is. Yeah, it's smart. It's no joke, dude. It's like insane. I bet we've got probably 18 inches or something like that up in where we are for the last month and then into this month. It just won't stop, you know? So
That's crazy, dude. Yeah, I know. Like every time, and it's been flooding, you know, I think we talked about that. Yeah. And you know, my mom keeps sending me flood pictures of our hometown and it's crazy.
It is crazy. And it's, you think like, well, you know, we'll figure out how to make things, not get so out of control with the flooding. But like when it comes down with torrential, you know, rains, it's like, it doesn't matter how much prep you do, you know, because I know like down by where we grew up, they spent a lot of money trying to get that flood zone like figured out, you know.
So yeah,
they spent a lot of money trying to like re-engineer stuff, and it's just like, dude, you just can't. I mean, it's just the way it is, you know. So
yeah, there's just no stopping it because it's just that creek bed is just so deep,
yeah,
and so wide, and the water just will fill it up, you know. At one point, my mom heard that the swing and bridge might have been taken down, but then she said,
"Yeah, not." Now that you said that, that rings a bell. But
there was some damage down there by our park. We got down by our city park, one of the big city park in our hometown. There's a suspension. It's not a suspension bridge. It's kind of a suspension bridge, I suppose. It's a wire bridge. We'll call it the swinging bridge.
Right.
But because it's wires, but it's got a wooden plank kind of cross. And how long do you say?
It's
like maybe 50 yards or something?
Oh, yeah. I would say 30, 40? Maybe 40, something like that.
Okay.
You know what I mean? It's pretty
long.
It's good ways. Yeah.
I'll tell you a funny story for this will be funny to the listeners, I think. I have a very distinct – I have many memories of that bridge. Jeff and I fishing sticks off of it one day while it was flooded. Yeah. But another one happened a few years earlier, and it's one with you.
Yeah, I know what
you're going to say. And I think you know exactly where I'm going with this. Oh, yeah.
I took my brand new – skateboard. My Lucero skateboard.
It was Gator, wasn't it?
No, it was Lucero. It was John Lucero.
Okay.
But it was, you know, it was a nice board, man. Like, I had gone down to Memphis like a few weeks earlier, and I'd seen my mom and dad and I were out in the town square, and just a mob of these skaters came through and just tore it up. And I was like, dude, I've got to get a skateboard, man. Like, these guys are so cool, you know? So,
this
like,
was like right whenever the
it was, yeah, like
the skateboarding,
the mid, like the mid to late mid-80s, man, when it was just, you know, it was going off, man. Tony Hawk,
yeah, and, we were,
you know,
we were probably about sixth or seventh grade, I I think it was sixth grade. I think it was sixth grade.
Yeah, yeah. So
right around there.
So it was super intense, and it was, so I was like, I got to get one of these, man. So, you know, I had sort of did what I had to do to get one, and then fucking, I had this thing for like, what, maybe a week or two? I think it was not even a week, man.
I don't think it was a week.
And I get the fucking bright idea, man, to try to skate it across the swinging bridge, man, and I freaking eat shit, and that thing just goes off the side, you know, it's like slow motion. It's like, no! And
I had the perfect, I had the perfect cinematic view.
Yeah.
Because while you were going across like that, I was down there.
Why'd you let me do that, man? Fuck.
I was, look, first of all, man, again, I was down on the creek side, you know, down in the, close to the water, because like, even though this, it was a school trip, the school picnic day or whatever.
Okay, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we were supervised.
Yeah.
We were supervised, but like, it was still, it was the 80s, so supervision really wasn't that much of anything. Because like, there was a whole bunch of us boys that were down, maybe, and some girls too, that were down by the water, because they're right there by the bridge. Right. There's a little path you can go down there and sit by the water, and you can take in the whole spectrum of the bridge there. And I just see you cruising across it.
Yeah.
And I, right as I'm like, man, that's a bad idea. I'm thinking, because I've always been one of those kids that was more on, I wasn't too careless. I was more on the cautious side. And I just remember going, oh, that's not good. I wouldn't do that. That's not a good idea. And it's like almost like I put my mental like recognition of this is not good. Put a banana under your feet or something, dude, because you just went off and it just took off and went over the side and just bloop right into that soupy red water, man, that ran to Kingfisher Creek, man.
Yeah, and then John Clayton fished it out later after school. He had gone down there and fished it out, and I think I had to pay him like, I think I paid him like $10 or something, or $15 for it or something. But it was well worth
it. But that's probably better than you would have made off if you told your parents.
Oh my God! Yeah, for sure, man. For sure, for sure, man. I love that board, man. That's man. But speaking of crazy, you know, stories about our childhood and our hometown, we have a return guest today, and we're so excited to have her.
Yes, if you listened to last week's episode, you heard a little bit about what we're talking about. Our friend Amy is back, and you may remember her telling about her her hobby, her weird hobby, and her ghost, and all sorts of things. And then she, it's like, as soon as Amy got off after our first interview, like the next day, she contacted me. She's like, oh, I forgot to tell you about this thing, and then and this thing, and then this thing, and all these things, which you are soon to hear, are even bigger and crazier and weirder than the ghost house stuff, which was pretty crazy in itself.
Yeah, great stuff.
So so what we got, we got a load. We got true crime right unfolding right in front of her. We've got a UFO. And we've got an encounter with some of the most gruesome serial killers of the 70s and 80s.
Yeah.
And
and
this is stuff she forgot.
Right. Yeah. Scary stuff, man. Scary stuff. And really stuff that is eye-opening when you think back about, you know, where we were, what we were doing at that time, having no idea that this stuff was going on. But again, you know, she was great. She's gracious enough to come back on. She wanted to come back on and share these stories, and we're glad that she did.
Yeah. So I guess without further ado, let's get to it. Amy, thank you for coming back. What's your weird story?
Well, I'm going to tell you first about the Las Vegas stabbing.
Cool.
This one is a crazy story. My sister was getting married in Las Vegas, and this was probably, I believe, 2002 or 2003. I have a numbers thing, and we can talk about that later. But
did she go to one of those places where you can get married by Elvis?
No, she actually did it very... Do you think my sister would do anything less than fancy at any time in her life? Absolutely not. Wait.
Hold on. So an Elvis Vegas wedding is not fancy?
I think an Elvis Vegas wedding is like the fanciest, but my sister's tastes are a little more refined.
I have to cross that off my bucket list, so.
Well, you know, what can you do? So we were there, and I was there with my fiance and my ex-husband, which is an odd thing, but it's everybody was very good friends. We were all very good friends, and we were all great co-parents, and so it wasn't cool. Like drama like people think. Mm-hmm. The girls were flower girls, and Sean, which is the girl's dad, was happy to go to Vegas and see the sights with the girls too and play, you know, and you know, he was came to the wedding, and everybody plays nice, so nobody's invited. Those are the rules.
Good.
So we're all there, happy family, doing the wedding thing. And my fiance, Rick, had family that lived in Las Vegas. He had an aunt and an uncle that lived there. So one of the nights, this was the night before the wedding, we were going to go and have dinner with them because we had done bachelorette party stuff like 2 days before the wedding, because it was like a whole like 5 days in Vegas kind of destination wedding thing. So in the middle of this,
that's the smart thing to do, is to do any kind of bachelor or bachelorette party at least one day before the wedding to let the people recover, because Barry can attest.
Yes, thank you very much. Thank you very much.
To not do it just the night before.
Yeah. Well, you know, again, my sister is all about fancy, and she doesn't want to look like, you know, for her pictures, like she's hungover. And, you know, she is from Kingfisher, so we know how we can drink.
Yeah.
There you go. So, well, not Okarchi level, but still.
she dated Okarchi boys her entire high school.
Okay,
career,
so she learned. So. She learned from the best.
She absolutely did. So anyway, we're doing the thing. So we're going to go to dinner. We go to dinner. Now my fiance was a bit of a cheapskate, and he wanted to stay off the strip at this place called the Wild Wild West.
Fuck yeah.
And I was like, I don't know that that's a good idea, because I've heard that when you go to Vegas, you should not stay off the strip. Mm-hmm. And he said, but it's such and such cheaper. And he was in a band, and you know how band people are. They never have any money for anything other than making CDs and stickers.
That's true.
That's all there is to it. That's just how it is.
Was he a drummer?
No, he was the lead singer. Do you think I'd go out with a drummer? No, that's too much of a... Come on now.
Oh, that's great.
Anyway, so we're all there, happy little family. We're going to dinner. We come back to the Wild Wild West Hotel and Casino. And I see we're all kind of standing around the parking lot in the trunk because, of course, he has to get some demos, right, to give to his aunt and uncle.
Of course.
Again, that's just what you do.
Yep.
It's part of the thing.
Yep.
So he's getting the demos out of the trunk, and I see a commotion. Me, I'm already bored with the whole thing, because how many times have I seen this whole thing go down, demos? Like a trillion. So I'm kind of just people watching, and there's a fight going on in the parking lot. There's like, it's this one guy, it's like, and I'm going to use a black guy and a white guy only because that's the only way to differentiate them, that's just what it is. It's a black guy and a white guy, and they're fighting. And I hear this girl, probably a young teenager, screaming, saying, "He's killing my daddy. He's killing my daddy."
Oh. Uh-oh.
So I look over and I see the black guy push several times what I thought was being pushed, the white guy, and the white guy goes down. And the girl's still screaming, and I'm still looking, and everybody just now is starting to kind of look. And it's not an uncrowded park. It's a fucking parking lot of a casino, even if it is off-spread.
Yeah.
So it's not like it's, like, deserted or anything. So nobody's doing shit. And I look at Rick, and I say, go get me some towels, because I look over and I see the guy, the white guy had on this white shirt, and I see it starts turning red. Mm. So I know there's some shit going on. Yeah. I don't know exactly what, because I'm about 50 yards away-ish. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I know it's bad. So I turned to Rick and I say, go get some towels. So he just stands there and I go, get some fucking towels. And it snaps him out, and he starts running. We were on the second level of the hotel, which is actually, it was a motel.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we were on the second level. So he goes in, and he grabs towels, and he starts walking him down the stairs. And I'm like, throw the fucking towels. And he's like, I don't want to get them dirty. And I'm like, fucking moron. So I get the towels and I take them over to this guy. And okay, so wait. So while I'm waiting for the towels, the black guy comes walking towards me, and he walks within probably 5 yards. And I look right at his face. I mean, just like this. And I look at him while I'm walking towards the other guy that's down. And again, the whole time this kid is screaming, he killed my daddy. He killed my daddy. Mm. And so I'm like, I grab the towels and I go and I sit on this guy's chest. He's been stabbed in the chest, but he's been stabbed so many times. I don't even know where all the blood is coming from. It's just, there's blood everywhere. So I've got these towels and I'm like sitting on these towels on his chest. And he's like, you're killing me. You're killing me. And I'm like, I'm not moving. So, then I start screaming at people. I'm like, call 911. And then I'm like screaming at somebody else to grab the kid and take her inside. And then I'm like, you know, I'm just like a fucking army sergeant. I don't even know where it came from. Yeah. I honestly don't. I have no idea.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, I want me on my side if there's like a panic situation, because everybody was standing around like dumbasses.
Yeah. Yeah.
So anyway, finally, what seems like it's probably 7 minutes, but it seems like it was about 15 or 30. I don't know. My legs were just cramping because I was like squatting, holding pressure onto this guy's whole torso. So my thighs were like, I was in like a prolonged squat. So my thighs were just shaking like that.
Yeah.
And the EMS finally got there. And the guy's standing over me, like, slowly putting on his gloves. And then I realize I am covered in blood. Mm. I am covered in blood. Blood everywhere. Mm. Blood from my elbows to my hands. Mm. Blood from my knees down. The treads of my shoes. I had relatively new shoes. Nikes. And, you know, they have, like, this much in the arch where there's, like, the foam bit. Mm-hmm. To blood. I was in a puddle up to the fucking thing in blood.
Like an inch, inch of blood, man.
Wow. Blood everywhere. Blood everywhere.
Is he conscious or is he out by this
point? Yes, the whole time. He's like, well, I mean, he's less conscious at the end, but he's still moaning and wanting me to get up.
Okay.
And I'm not moving. Yeah. I'm like, I'm fucking on this like it's...
Yeah.
I am on it until somebody, you know, pries me off. Because at this point, I'm all like muscle locked in my position anyway.
Yeah.
So the EMS is like putting on a glove, and then he puts on the other glove, and I'm like, look at him. I'm like, you want to take over here? And so they sit down, and you know, they start working on him, and I go sit down on the curb, and I'm just like, you know, I'm just like shaking. I'm just like, my adrenaline is spiking. I've got a headache now through, like, you would not believe. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be at this hotel anymore.
Yeah.
And they don't want to refund my money. And I'm like, I don't care if they refund my money or not, motherfucker. You're getting me on the strip tonight.
Yeah.
And that happened.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
So did you go in there? Did you go into the office still covered in blood and say, I want my money back?
Yes, actually.
I think if you would have been in there.
This man's blood is on me.
Covered in blood. I think they would have been
This is not my blood.
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah.
I don't think it really matters. At that point, I don't think it really matters whose blood it is.
It did matter to me because I knew my blood was
I know that. I mean, I don't know this random dude
at this cheap ass fucking Las Vegas motel, you know, whose blood I'm now wearing like a goddamn Walking Dead costume, you know. I don't even fucking know. So I have to stay put because now homicide detectives have to come talk to me.
Did he die?
No, okay. But it was this close.
Okay.
That motherfucker lived.
Wow.
I was going to have to go back to testify.
Wow.
Because I identified the guy.
Did you really?
They caught him. And so they had me come out and identify him. So I was going to have to fly back to Vegas, but he took a plea, so I didn't.
Wow, man. You know, that says a lot about your character. To run into a situation that is hostile, that has major trauma that has just occurred, to have the foresight and the mental ability to overcome that and get in there and do what had to be done. That guy's lucky you were there.
Yeah, you know, I think we touched on kind of my asshole stepfather, but I'll tell you, being the oldest, feeling responsible for siblings that are younger than you to somebody who's abusive, I obviously did not run. There's this one time he was pretty violent. He was going to get violent with my sister. And I ran up to him and I called him a fat piece of shit just so he would chase me, you know? And,
well, that prepared you for that moment, you know?
It did. I mean, it did.
As fucked up as that is, it prepared you for that moment.
As fucked up as that is, I would not be who
now,
I am.
What, now, yeah. did you have any certification in CPR
None.
Or anything? You just
None.
You were just going by gut.
Gut.
Wow.
Wow.
That's Nothing. Heavy. I can tell you, because I've witnessed somebody being shot right in front of me, that you don't your brain is going a million miles a minute, and there is adrenaline rushing through your body, and there's a lot of things that could have happened in that situation. That guy could have freaking turned to you when you're going to walk.
He could have.
It's you know.
But the thing is, when I was in high school, I took one of those stupid career assessment tests, you know, what should you be?
Right.
And they're all like, oh, you need to be like in the army, because I'm like, you know, I'm a right fighter. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you know, that's just who I am. And I don't like injustices. And even if it's, you know, it is what it, you
right.
know.
Right.
But
wow.
But yeah.
That's intense, man. Damn.
Yeah. That
so did you, ever find out what the backstory was?
Yes, I did. So this 14-year-old, this girl that was the daughter that was screaming, the 14-year-old, apparently this other guy, the stabber.
The attacker,
started hitting on this girl in the little attached casino restaurant, because there was one of those, you know, like, you know, every off-strip one has like, you know, $4.99 buffet, you know, all that. So apparently they had stopped there to eat. And the attacker had tried to like hit on or made some inappropriate comments to the daughter or some such. And the dad had said, you know, that's my daughter. She's only 14. You need to, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then they took it outside and that's what happened.
Wow, man. What a piece of shit.
Yeah, that guy was a truck driver. And he and his, and since it was on summer, his daughter was with him while he was doing his truck driving.
Yeah. Damn, dude. Wow. That's crazy.
That's intense.
Yep.
Damn.
So that's Las Vegas story.
What you're saying is don't stay at the Wild Wild West Hotel.
holy crap. And then, so well, now, look. You remember there was a song like that Wild Wild West song by Will Smith?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, from the awful movie.
So every time we'd hear it or whatever, I'd go, or every time we'd say Wild Wild West, every time we mentioned this story for the next 5 years, I'd go, it was at the Wild Wild West. Stabbing at the Wild Wild West.
Like,
it
went
down at
the
Wild West. I mean,
wow.
It was.
Oh my god!
Wow. That's hilarious. At the Wild Wild West.
Well, look. Yeah. I think if you go looking, if you go, sometimes the names of places, you know, really reflect the character.
Absolutely.
You know? So if you go. Wanted to stay at a place called the Wild Wild West.
I have video evidence of me when we landed. I was doing a video documentary of this whole situation, and it's someplace, but I have tapes that are also less PG, and so. I'm kind of like Russian roulette trying to like find it.
Yeah.
It would be interesting to watch again, but it again is Russian roulette and I'm kind of not there.
Oh, that's great.
But I had said as soon as we landed, I was like, I do not have a good feeling about this.
Yeah.
And I was right.
Yeah. Yeah. Gotta follow your gut sometimes.
I always follow my gut, man.
Yeah. Damn. But again, you were at the right place at the right time for that.
Yeah, you know.
So
I was. Yeah. I was. Universe. That guy, I don't. Well, and even the homicide people were like, I talked to them before I left because they needed to talk to me before I left town, too, to make sure no status of the case had changed. You know, make sure he was still alive and I didn't need to do anything additionally before I left for Oklahoma, because it's always a big thing when there's a tourist as a. Mm-hmm. A witness, because the state of Nevada has to pay for you to come back.
Right.
So, you know.
Right.
They'd rather not.
Yeah.
If they can avoid it.
As long as they don't put you up at the Wild Wild West.
No.
Put you up somewhere on the strip. You'll be fine.
It's the the Bellagio from here on out.
I think we went to the Sahara, which wasn't like super fancy, but
it's better.
You know, it's like on the strip.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
And the girl, the babysitter girl, she picked up the phone and there was a policeman on the other side. And he said, we've tracked the phone call and it's coming from inside the house.
Whoa.
Yeah, dude.
I love those urban legend stories.
Dude, I do too. And you remember the one where the girl, it's always the babysitter or it's the kids making out in Lover's Lane. But there's the one where the girl comes up and she finds the kids are watching TV and she turns them around and their face has SpaghettiOs.
Oh, man. Or the hook guy. Remember the hook guy?
Oh, the hook. The hook was hanging from the rearview mirror.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you got a story that is similar to any of those awesome urban legends, we want to hear it. Because, you know, those urban legends, man, they started off as somebody's true life weird story. It's got to be true somewhere.
Speaking of always being right or wrong or weird or something.
Sorry, that just really, speaking of always being right, that seems like it was directed at somebody, but who probably forced to listen to the podcast.
I left more than my allergies in Oklahoma. Well, some baggage, it can stay. I quit paying fees on that storage locker years ago. But yeah, so one of the things in Oklahoma, my girls went to class in the School of Advanced Studies. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that.
I am not.
So it's a visual performing arts charter school in Oklahoma City.
Okay.
So we had both their dad and I both, we were divorced at the time, but we both agreed to move within the district of Wilson Integrated Arts because it was a theater school for a class in School of Advanced Studies. And you know how Oklahoma City public schools are.
Yeah.
They're absolutely awful.
Yeah.
And so because the government thinks a lot more of lining oil company pockets than they do a paying teacher. Right. So anyway. Yeah.
Yes, true.
It's even worse than whenever my dad was a teacher back in the 80s. So yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. So state of Oklahoma, unfortunately. But I think in the broader sense, our nation needs to needs to be a lot of education reform. And,
well, you know, and especially the thing is, one of the things about, you know, speaking of privilege, my girls were privileged enough to have parents with the ability to move to a good school district. You know, there are so many parents that do not have that privilege. And it's just fucking awful. It's just stupid. So anyway, the girls went to class in School of Advanced Studies, which was right off of 23rd and Klassen in Oklahoma mm-hmm. City. Mm-hmm. So one day, this was January, and I'm going to say it was February 27th, but the date, the year is fuzzy. It might have been anywhere from 2010 to 2012. I don't remember. I'm horrible. So I was driving from taking the girls to school, and I got to right where, do you know where the Klassen Towers are on 23rd and Klassen?
I think so.
You know where the dome is?
Yeah.
The gold dome. So, and then there's the Klassen Towers right next to it. Uh-huh. Well, my ex-husband, actually, the girl's dad lived in those towers on like the 10th or 11th floor or something. It just so happened. But I was taking the girls to school this day, and I was coming back, and I was passing the Klassen Towers, and this woman ran this stop sign that goes kind of behind the bank, the Chase Bank there, and went through six lanes of Klassen, hit me in my Mini Cooper on the driver's side, knocked me about 30 yards up into the flower bed of the Klassen apartments.
Whoa.
Like the entrance flower bed, like that's like near the, they have a big circular entrance. So over the curb, over the circular drive and into that area, she was booking it.
Yeah.
They could not get me out of the car because it was crunched all around me. They couldn't even jaws of life me out of it. They had to go in through the hatch.
Ooh.
Damn. To get
me out of this.
Wow.
Yeah. So it just so happened, my ex-husband looks out the window to wonder what the commotion was, sees my very distinctive Mini Cooper, which had OU Sooners on the top, and was like, oh, shit, that's my ex-wife. So he takes some pictures. He has the force. He's half Asian, so he's very logical, and he makes sense at all times. Mm-hmm. So he took pictures. He came down and he then, you know, communicated with the ambulance, which was good because I had had my bell rung like hard.
Yeah.
Like
I can imagine.
Were you
heavy
out?
Hard.
Were you out?
I was out for a little bit. Yeah. And then I don't remember like a whole lot until I'm actually kind of getting until they're actually getting me out of the car.
Okay.
So I don't. I mean, I was talking, but I wasn't as clear as I could be.
Yeah.
So Sean actually, thankfully, took care of all of the arrangements. He took care of Colin Patrick, my husband. He took care of, you know, telling the officers who I was, how I was not related to him anymore. But, that was a whole other conversation.
Right,
That was really weird for them. They're like, you're... Okay, what?
Yeah.
And how do you, were you with her? Were you in the car?
Yeah.
And it was all weird.
Yeah.
So anyway, we get to the hospital. And at that point, I knew, we all knew I had a concussion because the light was killing me. I mean, like, the light from even the ambulance. I made them turn it off. I couldn't, oh, no.
Yeah.
So we get to the hospital. They do CT scans and stuff. And thankfully, there's no... like bleeding, so that's great.
Yeah.
There's other damage where like you have these things called, I'm trying to think of what they're called. So we have these things called orbital lobes kind of. Mm-hmm. They're like, they have a lot. They're the part of your brain that deals with like your ears and your whatever. But a lot of times when you've had severe, when you've had a head trauma, you these parts of your brain stem will slip down into the cavities that these are supposed to occupy. Okay. And it could cause migraines and different things. Mm-hmm. But another thing that happened is since she hit me from the side, I had the side-to-side whiplash.
Mm, right.
And I also had side airbags and everything. So this, like, hemispheres of my brain actually separated a little bit.
Oh,
and severed
shit.
Some connections up in here. Oh. Now, it was neural connections. So that's good and bad in that it's good that it's not blood supply, and that would be, like, a whole different realm of problems.
Yeah.
But it's bad in that that was bad. I mean, I had a concussion. Seriously, I had migraines so bad. I would literally vomit and piss myself simultaneously. I mean, it was just like, this went on for 6 months. I was at the end of this. I was so suicidal because I was like, there is no way. Yeah. My life is not. I can't do this anymore, you know?
Yeah.
But it finally started to kind of let up, you know, a little bit. So I started to have, like days of good that I could, like, just kind of, like, clutch onto. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So I was no good for about a year. I could remember nothing.
Wow.
My husband had to write me Post-it notes on the coffee maker to tell me what I had to do during the day. He would say, today you need to do this. You need to do that. You need to do this. You need to do that. I couldn't remember shit. My short-term memory was gone.
Wow.
Yeah.
I could still tell you, like, what happened. Like, I could tell you I could sing you stupid Frankly Franklin songs from fourth grade elementary program.
Actually, I believe... I'm sorry to interject, but I believe Frankly Franklin was our second grade program starring Ray Lawrence.
Then you go. There you go. So I could do Frankly Franklin.
Wow.
But I cannot tell you my husband's birthday. I cannot remember numbers for the life of me.
Wow.
So my occupation before my big accident was, I was a project manager for an architectural signage company in charge of new construction.
Okay.
So that did. There's a lot of math.
Right.
So that kind of limits your options. But during my recuperation, I guess you could say, I started screwing around with paper mache and started doing, like, sculptures and paintings. And, like, I would do, like, ultra realistic sculptures of mummified children because I'm weird and quirky.
Uh-huh.
And actually,
as established in our previous
episode. Yes. And actually, some of my dolls have been bought by this production company in the UK to use in movies and horror movies.
Wow. Cool.
There you go.
Cool. That's awesome.
So that's cool.
Yeah.
So while I lost the ability to do numbers and stuff, I have gained this, like, really weird creative, you know, side that tell me if I'm wrong. Was I ever considered any kind of artistic in high school?
Well, you know, I was going to ask.
Other than Bacon.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That I was going to ask almost exactly what you said there. I was going to ask if this was new, because I don't remember you being in art. I remember you being in band, and I remember you reading a lot of paperbacks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I don't remember you. I don't remember any kind of, like, real artistic, you know, streak or anything like that when you were in high school or growing up. That's wild.
I was never inclined. I was always more into the science, you know. Mm-hmm. I love the science.
Right.
Yeah, you were very level-headed and very, like,
love it, you know?
Yeah.
But, yeah, so now it's cool that I can take the science part, even though I don't have to worry about the numbers, and I can use my love of the science part for my art, which is what I love, you know? So I'm, like, living the dream.
So do you still have short-term memory issues?
I still cannot remember numbers to save my life.
Okay.
So you, do you still have short-term memory issues?
Yep. I certainly do. Yes.
I had to do that. I'm sorry. That was kind of cruel. But
that is a yes. That would be a yes. Yeah, wow, I still can't tell you what my husband's birthday is.
That's fascinating. I mean, it's fascinating. I'm sorry that happened to you, but it's fascinating that the brain had shifted your abilities a little bit, and you sort of got a hunger for creativity. That's, you know, we talked before a little bit on the podcast about people that have these types of injuries, and they wake up, you know, mathematic geniuses, or, you know, can speak languages, or, you know, these strange things that we can't really explain, you know.
That one was mine wasn't as dramatic, but I mean, for me it is dramatic because it was a dramatic shift in, you know, how I, you know, it's really weird to go from seeing the world as a scientist or a logic brain and then go to seeing the world as an artist.
Right.
Yeah. And that's really a weird thing.
Yeah.
It's really a weird thing.
You've had a unique experience because you've gone basically from a desire to me, this interpreting what you just said, you've taken, you went from a desire for order and having thing in everything in order to a position to where you embrace chaos and manipulate it to make new things.
Yeah.
Yep. So I guess, and that's my artistic arty person talk there. I don't know.
Maybe it made me like more, I don't know, conscious of mortality. You know,
I'm certain it probably.
Yeah. You know, since so many of the things I do are related to either death or life or both.
Right.
Did you ever have like was there any full on amnesia during this, or was it just like just the parts where that were the spotty memory?
It was awful. I couldn't remember shit. It was awful. And I don't know how much of it was the constant migraine and how much of it was brain damage though, you know, because it's all like stirred together in this, you know, head soup.
Right.
So you've got the stress from like, you know, plus I had like total PTSD about
my
car.
Yeah.
I mean, I still don't drive very much.
Did you ever figure out what was the cause? Why was this woman, what happened? What was her deal?
She was late. She was running late. Oh my God. I wrote her the most dramatic, like literally a year after the accident. I wrote this and I had to do it, I think, just for my, again, my trauma, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like I wrote her this big letter about how she literally ruined my life. Because at that time, the art thing, I hadn't like settled into it, you know. So I was just left with this like, nothing, you know, nothing to fill what I had lost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow. That is, that's crazy. That's sad. But we're lucky to have you, and we're glad that we still have you. And
I am so glad.
I mean, if anything, you're the poster child of what you can survive. And the brain is an amazing mechanism, and all that pain that you went through, you know, the brain is trying to repair itself and trying to rebuild what it had lost. And the fact that you have the abilities that you have, that you can talk to us, is amazing, you know?
Yeah.
It really is.
Well, the fact that I'll even get in a car is also, for a while it seemed I had that bad accident, but before that I had, if you, either of you go to Oklahoma City, go by Main Street in Sheridan, downtown, there is a light pole that looks like that.
Mm-hmm.
This is my light pole.
Okay.
Because I was going to drop some stuff off for work at the city, and some lady in a Bronco ran the stoplight and shoved my car into it.
Damn.
Now, that was the passenger side, and that gave me whiplash, but it didn't, like, you know, do anything serious, you know?
Yeah.
So then I was driving in the, then I got the Mini. So I was driving to my cousin's house. She had just moved to Yukon. So I was driving down 10th and Sarah Road at night. It's like very rural. Fucking deer jumps out and I swerve, which I know you're not supposed to do. Mm-hmm. And then I go hit a ditch and then I hit a tree.
Oh my God. The car
is $500 from being totaled and it's a brand new Mini Cooper.
Wow. Damn, man.
So
you've had your run-ins.
Then, like, within 2-3 years, you know, then this stupid lady. And then I was like, that's it. Apparently, I cannot get in a vehicle because...
Or you need some kind of military-grade vehicle.
Right. Mm-hmm. We have a Subaru Forester because it got the highest safety ratings for that's crashes.
Good. That's good.
When I was buying a car. So,
yeah, that's good. That's good.
So that's weird story.
You can put lots of cats in there.
Yeah, you can. Actually, you can a lot for rescue work.
Hey, Barry.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen a goat sucker?
What?
Goat sucker. Chupacabra.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Have you ever seen one of those?
I haven't seen one personally, but I've heard about them.
Yeah, me too. If anybody's got a goat sucking story, wait, if you got a goat sucker story, we want to hear it. If you got a Bigfoot story, we want to hear it. If you got a Loch Ness Monster story, or a Lake Champlain story, or Ogopogo story, or an Oingo Boingo story, wait, that was an 80s band. Anyway, you got a weird cryptid story, we want to hear it.
I didn't even know what a cryptid was, man.
Yeah, dude, cryptids. They're like the animals that haven't been necessarily proven by science. They're the ones on the edge. You know, they're not necessarily known animals, but they're known animals. We don't have the bodies or anything like that. So they're kind of like half myth, half story, based in reality, but still in that weird mystery area that we don't know about yet. Cryptids are fun. Okay, so now we've got a couple more. We got the UFO story.
This one's a short and sweet. So when my Sean, my ex-husband from the last story, when he and I were still married and Darby was about 9 months old, we drove from Oklahoma to Tucson, Arizona, where his family is from, mm-hmm. For Thanksgiving. And Sean is an excellent father, but he is a really crappy person to take a road trip with because he wants to get there.
Hey,
he is,
man.
Like, right.
That's
he
me.
Is like, he is like the dad. Like, he's like the person you need to like clandestinely put water pills in his drink. So he'll stop for you.
Yeah.
So you
can Yeah, we're on a mission here, man. The mission.
Nobody do that. That's probably illegal, but it's a trick. So
we here at the What's Your Weird Story podcast do not condone or condemn the use of water pills to cause your traveling partner companion to stop for pee breaks. Throw that disclaimer in there. is it a victimless crime? Who knows?
It's a victimless crime.
We'll get Geraldo on that. I'm sure he needs some work. So.
Oh, good Lord. Yeah, so we were driving, and it was late. And he was like, he wanted to drive. Like, he had it all planned out that, like, he had our stops planned out and how many gallons of gas we're going to use. And, like, so we had to make it from point A to point B. But what he didn't put into his calculation was Darby, who is 9 months old.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
No calculations for kids, man.
No.
Babies.
Not enough.
Right.
Not enough calculation for children. So we were late. And so we were like driving at like 2 o'clock in the morning. And I'll tell you what, I was pissed off. So you know what women do when they're pissed off in a car at night? What do they do? Without phones. Now, this was 1996. There was no phones. So all you do is look out the window.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
You stare out the window, thinking your thoughts, mm-hmm. thinking your 21-year-old mad thoughts about how you don't want to be in this damn Ford Fiesta in the desert with a 9-month-old at 2:30 in the morning driving and you're goddamn tired and it's probably gonna get mugged or whatever.
Right.
Those are the thoughts you're thinking. And then I see in the sky this weird light, like, shoot up and, like, up into the left, it would be, up into the left. But it was reverse meteor. So it was, like, started low and went high. Mm-hmm. And it was real quick. It was like, zoom, zoom. And I'm like, the fuck was that? Because it, and then I got over my mad. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, there's something in the sky. And he's like, oh, it's probably just Andrews Air Force Base, because he actually was a government his dad was in the Air Force. Later on, he did government contract work. But his dad was in the Air Force and did, like, it was a navigational person. So he, like, flew pilot missions and whatever. Right. And so Sean was always, like, into, like, airplanes and Air Force as a child. And his astigmatism did not allow him to join the Air Force, for which he was always, like, very sad. He wanted to serve his country. Bless him. So, anyway, he was like, it's probably a plane, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, no, I don't think so. And, of course, Sean knows everything there is to know about planes. And so he's telling me about the different kinds of planes that could, in fact, do what I had just saw them do. And then this light beam shoots out, like, from the sky and down. Like one of those movie beams, like, see?
Yeah.
One of those beams like that, out and down.
What? And
about shit my pants. And I'm like, look at the fucking light! Right! So, we kind of pull over to kind of see what's going on, because at this point, he is not looking at the light. He is a very responsible guy, and he is driving this Ford Fiesta through the desert at 2:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
So, in order to stop and look at the light, he needs to pull over. And so, that is indeed what we do. So, pulls over.
So, where was the light? Where was it? It was off to the side of the road?
No, it was, well, so, initially, it was far up. Like, I would say, like, when I saw it do the zoomy zoom, it was probably, and I'm real shit about, I have no idea, like, but probably, like, crop, like, higher than crop duster high, but not, like, commercial plane high.
Yeah.
Does that make
sense? Yeah.
So,
yeah.
In that kind of area.
Mm-hmm.
So, zoom to zoom up. And so crop duster high, maybe, like, a little higher than crop duster high to maybe low commercial airline high.
Okay.
Like, that was the first part. But it was probably maybe a mile ahead up into the...
Okay, into the distance of first.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But when it did the thing, now, it hadn't moved, but we had at that point. Once it did its bloom, I didn't see it move, like, position again. Well, until... So then they do the light, and it's stopped. It's not necessarily moving around. It's just a light.
Okay.
So it was shooting like a beam of light, like a spotlight onto the ground?
Spotlight, like the most cartoonish fucking spotlight. It's a cartoonish cartoon spotlight. Like if you were watching a cartoon of like what you think would happen, that is exactly what happened.
Okay, that's what I was picturing, but I also wanted to make absolute clear.
I did not see what the vessel looked like. Okay. So I will just say that right now.
I don't get to ask if it had a distinct, definitive shape. So, yeah,
I did not see a shape because I just saw it was just a light. And it wasn't even a very big light. It was probably, now from the distance I was looking at it, it was probably like, I mean, probably like softball size, that looked to me, but it was probably, so if I'm guessing softball size, I'm guessing its actual size would be from like a mile away. What would you say? Like probably the size of maybe like a Greyhound circle.
Yeah, like a Greyhound bus
or a Greyhound.
I was going to say like a tractor or even a... like a big bus like that.
Like if a Greyhound bus was like a circle shape or square shape. You know, like that seems like it's the the dimensions it kind of took up.
Right. Wow.
So not now again, it could have been totally, you know, desert dimensions always fuck with you because there's nothing to really base it off of, right. but it's, that was my impression of it.
Sure.
So anyway, so we stop and we pull over and we get out and he looks and it goes off. It doesn't go off like in a big zoom. It just goes off in a little zoom, just a little bloop, 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 you know,
with the beam still going down.
No, the beam, okay. the beam goes away. And then it's just bloop, 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 bloop. Not a hurry though.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm like, That. And I know he saw it.
She's dramatically pointing at at us on the camera.
He saw this. I know he saw this, but I will guarantee you he will probably deny it because mm-hmm. he is not that guy.
Yeah. Right.
He is the guy that will make every probably excuse to like nothing like you know, supernatural or paranormal or kind of out of the, you know, thing ever happened, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
He's like Spock in human form.
Right.
As a matter of fact, yes, we both really enjoyed Star Trek. So there.
Yeah. Wow.
It was probably that and Pearl Jam is the only thing we ever had in common. I'm not even joking.
Oh, that's great. So once the light went away basically.
It just kind of glooped off into the distance. It didn't like hurry around or anything. Yeah. It just was like,
wow.
Just kind of went. Just kind of went.
Wow.
Now did you have?
He did not see the light.
He didn't see the light. Well, he didn't admit to
see the light.
Yes.
I know he saw the thing going away.
Right. Okay. Did you happen to notice the time, if there was any kind of a time change?
There was no gap, and I did look. Okay. I did look because, I watched Unsolved Mysteries, so I knew to look for, like, time gaps. And I was already kind of like, you know, I was mad, so there was nothing else to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not talking to him, you know.
Well, we like the UFO stuff because
certainly do. So,
that is the only time I have ever seen something out of the ordinary. But I'll tell you, now I live in the middle of nowhere, Michigan, mm-hmm. and the sky is full of stars, and I look. Oh, I look now.
Yeah.
I didn't always look before, but I look now because I look.
Yeah, sure. Hoping to catch something. Yeah.
Yep.
That's cool.
Speaking of looking, you ready for the big finale story?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
This is, I'm very excited for this one.
Now, this story happened when I was about 6 or 7 or 8, somewhere around in there.
Okay.
So most of these details are from my mother, who told this story, you know, I mean, told it to everybody she could, because this was like the creepiest, weirdest thing that ever happened. So of course I heard the story like 9,000 times because, you know, that's just it.
Mm-hmm.
So I was about, again, 6 to 8. And we had moved to the house on College Hill not very long before. So it was me and my sister. My brother wasn't born yet. And my mom were there. This was during the summer. And so school wasn't in session. So Craig was working. He worked as an oil tester for a gas and oil company. He was out all the time. You know how oil men do.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it was just her and us girls. So the doorbell rings and I go and answer the door because why not? And it's these two men are there and they are each holding a crate of oranges. Now, this is weird, but whatever, you know. So I go get mom and she comes to the door and she's like, hi, can I help you? You know, she doesn't, you know. And he's like, yeah, we're here in town. We're going around and we bought these oranges in California and we're driving them around selling oranges and they're, you know, blah, 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 $5 a case or whatever. Now, my mom immediately got a creepy vibe.
Mm-hmm.
My mom was immediately skeezed out and knew that she was alone in this house with two girls, and there's two strange men out on her porch.
Yeah. Again, you're out in the country, so people know.
Out in the country. Yep.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the only thing in our house in front of us was just a wheat field. And then behind us, there was a vacant lot. And then behind the vacant lot, there was a row of houses that, mm-hmm. like, Kenny Garms and Wendy and the yep. Stefik lived on. But mm-hmm. our house was fairly remote, even in a remote area.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, anyway, my mom is immediately creeped out. Immediately. And she's like, she goes, well, hold on just a second. My husband's in the shower. And let me go see if he, wants any. Mm-hmm. And she goes, oh, he's getting out right now. Hey, Craig, do you need any of these? You know, and starts pretending that he's there.
Yeah.
Well, in the meantime, this guy, while she was talking about the shower, opens up. I've got to use hand motions now, so I've got to prop it up because I got to do it like my mom did it. Opens up this big Bowie knife like this.
Oh, shit. And,
yeah. And she's like, he takes this orange. She said the top layer of oranges were all good, but after you move the top layer, all the bottom oranges were rotten, just nothing yeah. but rotten oranges.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
he takes this knife and like slices this orange, and she's like, the way he did it, and it was so sharp, it just, and she's like, Craig, and she goes, and then she's like, he says we don't need any, and so she hurries up and shuts the door and deadbolts it, and then she goes and deadbolts the other door. Now, she doesn't know these guys are bad or anything, she right. just has a bad feeling.
Yeah.
So they leave. I guess they leave. They leave. Now, this probably within a year, 6 months to a year, it wasn't terribly long after that. We were watching America's Most Wanted like everybody did.
Yeah.
And yeah. There was an update on Adam Walsh's case, which was mm-hmm. John Walsh's
the son. Presenter's son, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so they showed this Henry Lee Lucas and this O'Toole guy. And my mom was like,
Otis Toole.
Otis Toole, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Otis Toole and Henry Lee Lucas, yes.
Yep.
So they showed his picture on the screen. And mom was like, oh, my God, those were the people that were here. Whoa. They were here.
Whoa.
So she called them. Yeah.
Whoa.
She called up the thing, the line, you know, and like was like, you know, they were here, you know, they were here, blah, 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 blah. And I guess now and now I haven't researched all of this. Now, I don't my mom could sometimes get her stories confused, too. So this is just all I know from my mom.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess at that same time that they had been around, somebody in the Schaffenberg area in Kingfisher was murdered.
Ooh.
Like a dad and a mom, and like the two kids were like cut, but they lived or something. But I don't know if it was related to that or not. But
yeah,
or if it was just that's what was on my mom's mind right. when mm-hmm. she got so skeezed yeah. out about these guys at right. the door.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But she related it to that incident very hard.
Hmm.
And I don't know if they false confessed to it, because apparently they did a lot of false confessing.
Yeah.
So I have no idea, but she related it to that story in some way. But yeah, it was always just like, that is crazy, wow. crazy.
Wow.
Okay, so. Some of our listeners may know this, but some of them may not. So I'm going to drop some information on you about Henry Lee Lucas and Otis Toole. They're both serial killers who worked together, which is very rare. And some reports say that they had a relationship beyond just the killing, that they were sexually had a sexual relationship. But they also both were like just terrible human beings. When they were arrested, they admitted to several murders, and then they added to that and they added up, and eventually, like, by their admissions, they said they had killed as many as 3,000 people. And they were active for a long time. And they would, I guess, I don't know if they were always together or they would take off and come back together or whatever, but Otis Sewell was, or Otis, I can't remember if it's Otis or Otis, but he's the one who supposedly kidnapped Adam Walsh and like beheaded him and kept the head. Wow. And they were very morbid. They're very just disgusting people. At one point, they claimed that they were doing a lot of these murders that they did, and they were all over the country, like 40 states and stuff is what they're recorded as doing stuff. And several crimes have been attributed to them, but also some have been taken away from them. But they definitely killed a lot of people, murdered a lot of people. And but at one point they claimed that they were part of a satanic murder cult that may have had ties to the government or something like that, or the New World Order or something like that, that it was called the Hands of Death.
Okay.
And wow. If you guys are interested in that, there's the Last Podcast on the Left podcast series. They do, I think, a 2 or 3 parter on Mary Lou Lucas and O's tool, and they do a lot of research, and they can tell you a lot of stuff. And
they're a fantastic podcast.
I definitely need to listen to that one, because I don't know a whole lot other than, and you know, and I didn't. I guess I should probably research it more than I have. I'm busy, like. doing life.
Yeah.
But that would be fascinating.
The thing is, they had
to get a way in. They went around, like, how are they going to get into people's houses?
Yeah.
You know, how are they going to gain these people's trust to get in?
They've got to have some kind of ruse. That's totally from everything I've read and heard about them. That totally seems within the realm of possibility of how they would attempt to, like, do that.
She said they were filthy.
Yeah.
And they also had a beat up piece of shit truck.
Mm-hmm.
So those were the other two bits of information. Mm-hmm.
They were both very distinct looking, because Henry Lee Lucas was, he had one eye that was like Popeye kind of squinty
and
all the
that
time.
Is what,
and he
that
was
is
short.
What, that is
and
what
Otis
Sewell
was
mother.
Like this giant, scary
that.
Man.
I forgot all about the eye. That is what made my mother so positive, was the eye.
Hmm. Wow.
I forgot about that eye until you just said it.
Yeah.
That's what made her so certain, was that eye.
Interesting. Well, where were they from? Do you know?
I think one was from Texas, maybe?
Okay.
Yeah, Henry Lee Lucas, he got arrested in Texas, and he died. But he may have been from there. I think that Otis Sewell is from Florida. But I'm not sure, because, again, they were drifters. So they were, I know that I read that they met in Florida.
Okay.
They were drifters, so they traveled all over. You know, they would ride the rails. They would steal cars.
Yeah.
They would often, I mean, they kidnap, like, young girls and take them along and then just get rid of them and stuff. And
didn't
that was
they main, do that with his cousin, with his own cousin or something?
Yeah,
or?
Something like that. Yeah, Henry Lee Lucas's cousin, yeah. Or I think it was either his. Wow. No, or maybe an Otis's cousin. I can't remember. But yeah, and she was like 14 at the time, and then she disappeared. And they were just terrible. And your mom, like, dodged a bullet. All of you dodged a bullet.
We did. My mom, I this is also a weird story. My mom shot her first husband in the face.
Holy shit.
Oh, my Lord.
I don't mean to laugh, but at the same time, that was unexpected. I did not. Wow.
So here's another weird story. Here's a bonus.
Great.
About my mom. Barry's like, oh crap, I'm never getting off this call. I got shit to do.
I love it. I was just doing some research on those two guys. So.
Oh, good. Okay. So my mom was married young. She was from a large Catholic family, and that's kind of what they did back in the day. You know, when they're from a farming community and a farming thing, women get married to older men young, especially in the, you know, 60s and 70s.
Yeah.
So anyway, my mom got married when she was 16 to this guy who was probably 26, 27. And apparently he was really abusive to her. He was not a nice guy. So one day he, I guess, worked her over a little bit. And she went down and filed a restraining order with Vic Tilbury, who was the sheriff at the time. And so he said, all right, you know, blah, blah, blah. They told the guy, you know, you can't come back, you know. Well, the police told him not to come back, and my mom told him not to come back, and he did come back. And so she shot him in the face with birdshot.
Oh, wow.
Oh, God.
Wow.
Oh, man.
He still, he kept some of it until he died.
Wow.
Right up in his, like, temple.
Wow. Well, hey, that'll teach
you. And you want to know the weirdest part about it? So the gun that she used to shoot him with was her dad's, and she had asked for it back, but the sheriff wouldn't give it to her. Now, about 5 years later, my mom married a guy named Clay Jordan. Clay was the grandson of that very same sheriff, and that's my dad.
Wow.
Wow.
Wow. Dang, man. That is crazy.
And he still wouldn't give it to her.
I love that she went for it, though. She had
she did.
Try.
She,
for real.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. Wow. That is amazing. That is amazing.
So now whenever one of my girls brings home a boyfriend that I'm not real fond of, I make sure and tell him, you know, my mom shot her first husband in the face, so murder's never been off the table.
Oh,
and it's
great.
True.
That's great. That's great. That's one way to get a guy to stop beating on you.
There you go. Yeah. You know what? Go, girl.
Yeah, hope so.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely, man.
Oh, no, for real. Absolutely. Yeah. 100%
you know what? And he's lucky that all she had was birdshot.
Right.
Yes, yeah. He is.
Yep.
So, no there
kidding.
You go.
No kidding.
He's lucky it was dove season. Right. We'll just say that.
Oh, that's great.
Man. Oh, okay.
Oh, well, Amy, thank you so much for coming back.
I'm always glad to be here. You guys are awesome to chat with.
Yeah, well, thank you. Thank you. Those were
it's been a blast. Those were fantastic.
Fantastic stuff.
Cool.
And we love the serial killer shit.
Yeah, dude, and that's like
we got to do some more stuff on that.
I wish I kind of wish I had more serial killer stories, but then I'm also really glad I don't.
Yeah, no kidding.
But, yeah. And the thing is, it's like you said about those guys. You know that would be the right time frame for them to be in Oklahoma to be there. You know, and to be driving around like that. And, so that's completely...
And she always honed in on the fact that only the top layer of oranges were any good.
Right.
Yeah.
That it was such an obvious ruse, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right. God, man. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy shit.
I know. You might have had a lot less interesting couple of episodes.
Hey, that's a nice t-shirt you got on there.
Oh, thanks, dude. It's brand new. Do you like that? It's one of the official What's Your Weird Story t-shirts.
Where'd you get that?
It's funny that you ask. I just got it off the brand new Spreadshirt.com site for the What's Your Weird Story podcast. There's no www. You just go straight to shop.spreadshirt.com/ what's without the apostrophe WHATS hyphen YEAR-WEIRD-STORY, and that'll take you right there.
I mean, you can never own enough clothing.
Well, it's true, Barry. There's t-shirts for the ladies, because, you know,
they're cut differently. There's hoodies, which are really cool. There's two different kinds of hoodies, and there's also tote bags, so you can tote your stuff.
That's so cool, man.
So if you guys go out to spreadshirt.com, what's your weird story? Currently, there are two designs, but there will be more going up very soon. So just keep your eyes out for that. And if you decide to get one of our shirts, tag yourself on Instagram to ours or Facebook. Show your love. Show us what you got. Let's see your true colors.
Dude.
Yeah.
I just, you know.
Yep. I mean, it's amazing. Amazing she forgot those. Like, those are her normal weird stories.
That, yeah, exactly. That's her normal weird stories, you know. And, you know, and it's, you know, one thing we didn't touch on in the intro, but she talked about her accident and her recovery. And, you know, we're obviously, having been friends with Amy for so long, we're very happy that that worked out the way it did.
Yeah.
And that she's recovered as she has, because that could have been a lot worse.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. So that's an amazing story cool. within itself, you know?
Yeah. And then that kind of like, you know, kind of unlocked her talent, you know? So,
right. Right.
Or so,
her,
yeah.
Yeah. Her ambition, you know, to want to do.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that's great. And I think that's what's fantastic about life is, you know, something that, you know, that maybe have brought you so much, you know, pain and discomfort and misery at one point in time ends up being sort of your saving grace and pushes you in a different, you know, mm-hmm. path. And that is what she's done, man. And, yeah. I hate that phrase, brave person, brave soul, whatever, you know, that catchphrase right. that people say, but that's true with her. I think in her instance, man, she's a real warrior.
Definitely.
But, but yeah, great stuff, creepy stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, her, of course, the story that, Henry Lee Lucas and, Otis Toole might have paid her a visit is like just the worst, like, thing that you could possibly ever want to happen to someone. They could have come into the clutches of those guys. Thank God they didn't.
Yeah, man, her mom was smart and she handled that very well. And she was convinced that that's who they were, you know? Yeah. And I mean, if you see, you know, we put a poster or a picture rather up, on our Instagram to advertise this episode, and it was a picture of them, and then there will be another picture for this episode. But like, if you saw those two dudes and then you saw them on TV, you would definitely recognize them and you'd be certain. And yeah, I believe that.
Agreed.
So I believe it was, because everything lines up, the timeline and all that stuff, right, and everything. So it's just,
yeah. Crazy stuff, man. She's lived quite a life and seen some crazy stuff, man. And great to have her back on. And again,
always,
you know, anybody wants to come back on. You've been a guest on here before.
Yeah.
Door is always open. We try to get, you know, as many new folks as we can in. But when we get, you know, people interested to come back, you know, it's one of those things where people enjoy their time on here and they want to come back and share other stories, you know, once they're done.
Yeah, and you know, we like to hear more stories. We like to have people revisit, and you know, and like Barry said, we like to make new friends and hear stories from them. So, you know, get a hold of us, get on the show, tell us your story.
Do it. Do it.
All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. We will be back once again next week with more stuff. It's for Dad's Day, is what it is. Barry.
Yeah, that's great.
And we'll take a break from the spooky and we'll get into the fun and the funny and all of that. And it's good stuff for Dad's Day. So tune in for that. And then we'll get back on track with another revisiting guest the following week and more spooky, crazy, weird stuff for you.
We look forward to it.
So in the meantime, be safe.
And be weird.
As always, if you have a weird story, we want to hear it.
If you have a lot of them, we want to hear them all.
We can't do this podcast without your invaluable contributions.
Whether it's sharing your stories,
listening,
rating,
and spreading the word about the podcast. Thanks for listening. Till next time, be safe.
Be weird.
The stories presented on the What's Your Weird Story podcast are, to our knowledge, true experiences that our guests have had. We can't take the time to research all claims made, and besides, it's just not as fun.